Welcome to the podcast, Winning Through Culture, where we're helping entrepreneurs stay impactful and relevant. I'm your host, Tim Flanagan.
I am here today with Stacy Brown Randall, a longtime friend, somebody that I'm always happy to see. We haven't seen each other in a while, but one of my favorite people in Charlotte. She's also the author of Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. She has her own podcast coming up on 100 episodes. And we're going to talk a little bit today about her journey and the journey that she has undertaken to become an entrepreneur and to win at life. So, Stacy, I would we've known each other now for 8-9 years, I think. The years are getting by us quickly. And we had an opportunity to actually work together at one point. We'll talk about that. But I thought it'd be great to give everybody a chance to hear your journey as an entrepreneur. You know, we've talked on this podcast before about the whole idea of being an entrepreneur, growing a business, you know, having a vision, building on that vision, learning through usually the school of hard knocks, growing and succeeding. And love to hear your journey in that framework. So why don't you start by just telling us, I'd love to let you tell us a little bit about the book, and then maybe we'll kind of back into your story and how you got to where you are today. How's that sound?
That sounds great. So yeah, I mean, a little bit about the book. Obviously, it's Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. It's the 5-step process that I teach people that if you want to get referrals and you don't want to ask, you don't want to pay, and you don't want to be overly promotional or gimmicky, how can you generate referrals in an authentic way? It's a strategy I figured out for myself, and then over time just started teaching it to other business owners. But the interesting thing about why I wrote the book and why I have the company that I have is really, I always tell folks, my ability to talk to anyone or teach anyone this topic came out of sheer necessity and the grace of God. So if you look at my background, I actually had a business failure. I ran an HR consulting firm for almost just over 4 years. And when that business failed, I found myself working for you, which was a lovely bright spot. But I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. It was kind of in my blood. I didn't know what I would do next. But it was the lessons that I learned in that first business failure that I figured out if I didn't learn how to overcome those failure points, I couldn't probably grow a successful business.
So what were those lessons you learned in that business failure? And talk a little bit about that experience.
Yeah.
And what it taught you.
So there are three main lessons that I learned. The big one, though, was I had not quite figured out how to fill the business prospecting pipeline. Like, it was just keeping that pipeline full of prospects on an ongoing basis. Having them come out the bottom closing into clients wasn't ever really my issue. It was, do I have enough of them coming into the top of the funnel? And when people, like when I tell people about my HR consulting firm, which I ran from 2008 to 2012,
so you did start that in the financial crisis.
I did, but I can't blame the recession.
Got it.
Good
ownership.
Yeah, it's just, I actually started the business with a client that said, I was working in a partnership with some other people, and they said, you should do this on your own. We'll be your first client. And I was like, golden. Like, doesn't everybody want to start a business that way?
Yeah.
Here's some money and a contract for 2 years. You should start your own business. And that business, when you looked at that business from the outside looking in, you would have thought it was really successful. I mean, KPMG was my client. BDO was my client. Ally Bank was my client. Coca-Cola Consolidated Bottling was my client. Big name clients. Lots of things from the outside looking like it was great. Things were great and good things were happening.
So things are not always as they appear.
They never are. They never are. And so I think that as I... You know, it's interesting when I think about the journey of that business and from the outside how cool it looked, I think that actually was why it was so hard to eventually admit defeat with it. I mean, I'm pretty sure when I was here having conversations with you about coming to work for you, you didn't know that that's what my business was going through.
Nope. I did not know that part of the story.
Nope. That is the part of the story.
You did a good job of
that. Thank you. Thank you. Well, because in the beginning, it was hard for me to admit it. And, you know, going through a business failure, it's financially hard, of course. It's emotionally hard. It's mentally hard. But, I mean, come on. At the end of the day, it's the blow to the ego. I mean, it's just hard to walk into a coffee shop and see people, and they're like, how's it going? And you're like, I'm a failure. But I would say that, you know, it's dealing with the people who have expectations of you and then the expectations you have of yourself. And, you know, most people would be like, yeah, overachiever, Stacy, you like to succeed. And it was really having to admit that, you know, this wasn't working. And one of the big lessons was, as a small business owner, and in that case, I was very much a solopreneur. It was the me, myself, and I game. Even though I was working on these really big, for these really big companies and doing great work and really liked what I did, I didn't constantly have people coming in the pipeline. So I wasn't constantly filling people, new potential clients in the pipeline. And I was working really, really hard for every client I did land. I did a ton of networking, which works, yeah. But I have three kids. I mean, at that point, only two. But I have three kids, and at that point, they were babies. Actually, Mackenzie wasn't even, like, she wasn't even in, I hadn't even had her yet. So Jacob was just around. And so it's just hard to, if that's the only way you're going to build your business. And I didn't have the right way to fill the pipeline. I also had some issues with my mindset. I think that was another
What were the things that you struggled with mindset-wise, Stacy?
So I think that I am an overachiever, and I always want to make
sure.
That
is true.
Thank you for the validation.
Hey, it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. I'm not scared of that to part
Better
of my life.
Better to be an overachiever than an underachiever.
So true. But I think for me, I was applying for an award. This is where I realized that it really was a problem. And I didn't realize it till a little bit later. But I was applying for an award. And it was a business award that women can win. And I was having a conversation with somebody who was kind of in the same space as me. She was like kind of like an HR consulting firm as well. She was there too, but not because she was applying. And we were in this informational session. And she came up to me afterwards. And I think she meant to say it the way of like, don't get your hopes up. It's going to be okay if you don't win. But what she said and how I took it gave me an excuse to not really push as hard as I needed to when things got tough. And so what she said was, businesses like ours don't win these type of awards.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't. She is a wonderful person. So I know she didn't mean it the way I then ended up taking it. But it became my excuse.
Kind of planted a seed of negativity in you.
It did. And when my business was struggling, it was like, well, this is a lifestyle business. I'm doing this because I have babies at home, which I actually fundamentally hate that. Like, no, yeah. You actually can run a business and have lots of kids if you want to.
Yep.
You need support, but you can do it. And so, but when it would be 2:00 on a Tuesday and it would be like, you should go make these phone calls or you should go do this, I'd be like, well, I could just go do laundry. It needs to get done too, right? And so I think that started. Now, there were other things impacting my business at the time, of course. There were obviously, it wasn't just that, but it was filling the pipeline. It was the mindset. And then at some point, if you're a solopreneur, you have to figure out how to scale. There's lots of ways to scale your business. You don't have to bring on people, but you do have to know how you're going to scale. Well, I was trying to figure out how to scale when my boat was drowning. Like, it was sinking.
Yeah.
And you can't scale at that point.
Can't scale when the water's coming in faster than you can bail it out.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And you should really be focused on getting your life vest on, let alone trying to still keep the water going out.
So,
you know, it's interesting. It was kind of that one of those things, like it was probably failing before I officially said it's dead, but it just took me a long time to get there. And I look back on that failure. And now, you know, what's interesting is I didn't talk about that as a business failure until after I had stopped working for you and gone out on my own and started my second business, which is a productivity and business coaching practice at the time. And I was a year into that business before I stood before a group of people and told my story. And I was like, yeah, I have a business failure. I had to go get a job. And I never gave up on wanting to be an entrepreneur. As you know, I come from a family
of entrepreneurs. Yes.
They are all the crazy kind because they're all in the restaurant world. I'm the granddaughter, the daughter, the sister, the niece, and the wife. Well, not anymore because he sold his, but of restaurant owners. So it's just, being an entrepreneur is actually having the 9-to-5. People look at you funny in my family. They're like, why would you do that? What do you mean you can't go on vacation on Tuesday and Thursday? That's when the restaurants are closed, right? Like, I knew that's what I wanted, but figuring out how I was going to make it successful was really important as I started the second one.
So you kind of put off accepting the notion of failure for a couple of years, probably almost 3 years then from the timeline. Once you took that in and accepted that that actually might be a good thing, not a bad thing. I mean, it wasn't a great experience to have in the moment, not fun in the moment. What did it teach you that has made you a much more successful entrepreneur over the last few years?
Everything. One, that I have a very strong ego.
Yes.
'Cause it took a while to accept to the
accept,
fact.
Accept that situation. Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. We have a very dear friend in common, Ruth Samuelson.
Yes.
And she told me when I was actually working here, she gave me some great advice one time. And she said, you know, God can't mold you when you're sitting in cold water. He has to put you in hot water to mold you. And I think she meant it for the time that I was here working with you. But that lesson and that moment, and it was a little sticky note I had on my computer, even when I was working here, sitting in one of these offices, it was a little sticky note that said, I can't mold you sitting in hot water, sitting in cold water, God. It was this little sticky note I put on my computer and then took it with me. And every time I'm faced with something different in this business and growing this business, because now this business looks totally in a way I would not expect it. Like, it's awesome and I love it, but it looks so different than I would have ever anticipated. And I still face a lot of self-doubt. Like, I still have those issues. I mean, they'll tell you everybody does.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how successful you become. It doesn't matter how wealthy you become, how big your business is. We all have our own version of self-doubt. And so I think the business failure taught me that I am capable of being molded when placed in hot water, and I'm capable of coming out on the other end. Not always the way I would like it, not always on my time frame, but I am capable of that, because that is what I have. That is what God has given me, is that ability to be moldable and to bounce back, to be resilient. I think I've also learned a lot of humility in the process. And that ability to be, I always tell folks, like, I can sit down and have coffee with a business owner that maybe a couple of years in, and I can almost like see it, and I'm like laser, oh, this is not going to be good, or wow, this could actually be impressive. I tell folks, don't have coffee with me if you don't want to know that answer, but because I can see
you
it in other people.
You have a way of speaking your mind.
I do. Yeah. I think I speak it with a little bit more gentleness now than I probably did a couple decades ago. But the reality of it is, I think that business failure was unnecessary for me. God knew exactly what he was doing in those moments for me. And it has definitely positioned me to be so, not that I wouldn't have been thankful, but just so thankful of the success that I do have and the grit and determination to know that I've got this. He's got me, so I've got this. And it's going to be okay.
Yeah, you know, John Maxwell wrote a book several years ago now, probably 20 plus years ago, called Failing Forward. And I had a chance to have lunch with John shortly after that book came out. And we were discussing that the premise of the book was a great premise, which is failure is a necessary part of success. And it's about moving forward from your failures. He did say, though, the title probably wasn't the best title because it didn't sell as well as any of his other books did. Still a great book. But, you know, you've talked a little bit about your faith, and, you know, that's something we also share in common as a guiding principle for not only our lives, but how we come at our business and the people we work with. If you don't mind expounding on that a little bit, I think it'd be great to explore, you know, how did your faith help you through that first business failure, and how did it prepare you for the next chapter of your success in your life?
So I would say that obviously it made me rely more on him. I am the type of person who really believes I can probably do it all. Like, I mean, I do some, there are those pieces of me that's like, I mean, yeah, I can figure this out, right? Like, when I took my program and turned it into an online program, I had to build the entire back end of the website with all the plugins and all those bells.
And you did that.
I did it.
Wow.
When we overhauled it the second time a couple years later, I did not do that one. I hired that out. But I did. The things that I have learned, the things that he has exposed me to be able to do, the things that he has proven to me that I can do, it's my willingness to do it is usually where he probably gets frustrated with me. But yeah, I just think that the faith part of my journey has only gotten stronger. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home. So there was always this understanding and underlying idea of like, yep, we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, that's how we're getting to heaven. And then like most high school, typical college kids, kind of like, Sunday, church, what? No, sleeping in, right? Like, yep. Kind of moved away from that. And it was actually when I met Norm, my husband, we were actually both starting to date at the exact time we were also both starting to like re-engage with our faith, which has been a huge part of our marriage moving forward as well. And so, and that doesn't mean we haven't had trials and being tested and all kinds of things that have happened, but I think it's that constant source of strength when things really feel like they're, and then when things are hitting the fan, it's not like you're grasping for it because it's kind of there. That doesn't mean I don't do a lot of questioning of God. Like, I think people say you're not supposed to question him, but you can ask him questions. But I'm like, no, I question him. Like, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? But I think, you know, I learned early on through some of the other things that we went through on the family side of us that it's just the questioning sometimes is actually what draws you closer. And it's the peace that you get when the questions are answered, even when they're not
when
answered.
When you listen.
And if you listen.
If you listen.
If you listen. That is a big one. And I think I also through this journey, what I have learned is I may not be at this point in my life where I have those, you know, quiet moments where I hear his small, still voice. I'm not going to say I'm one of those people that's ever had that moment, but I know very clearly God speaks to me, not only through the Bible, but through other people. I am constantly learning lessons by talking to other people and realizing I'll walk away from a conversation and be like, okay, God, got it. I know that's the message you wanted me to have. But I do think it's this great foundational piece in my life. It's only strengthened through everything that I've been through, which has been really helpful to continuing on. Because there are sometimes I get stuck with stuff from a business perspective. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Or can I do this? Do I have it in me? Mm-hmm. And then there's something that happens and I'm like, okay, right. Yep. He's got me. This is okay. I don't have to understand everything. I don't have to have the whole path laid out, but I do have to take the next step. And that for me is kind of where I am right now. It's like, he has this under control. Will you just take the next step, Stacey? Will you just do the next thing? I mean, and I think about the success my business has had, like the online side of my business where I teach people my referral strategy. We're in 8 different countries. We just brought on somebody last month from Singapore. You know, we've been in, obviously we have a huge base in the United States, but we're in Canada, we're in Germany, we're in Australia, we're in New Zealand. We are in, where else are we? Scotland, England. Like, we are in so many places. I'm like, I'm helping those people. Like, not just around the area, but like all over the world have success.
Taking the message global.
And, you know, that's one thing I think that he started needling in me as the message was starting, as I was going more global, my what I teach people was going more global, the business, the book, the podcast, as all that was growing and the businesses and the lives that I got to be around, I think he was like, okay, when are you going to talk about me? Like, when are you going to infuse me into some of what you do, but at the same time, honoring who, like, how I would talk to somebody about it. I'm not trying to be a preacher. Like, that's not what I'm trained to be.
Understood.
And so that's kind of been the next thing is like letting a little bit of my faith show through what I do. It's kind of been that additional step in that journey that I've been taking.
How have you found your faith to help you with the vision side of things? I mean, was the being in 8 countries and having your book translated in different languages, was that a part of the original vision?
So, no. I think,
as big a thinker as you are, that was not a part of the original vision.
It really wasn't. I think for me, you know, I think when I look back to starting this business, it was, let's just not be a failure again, right?
So that was the
vision when I first started, that when I stopped working with you and I left working with you and I went to start my second company and I started the business and productivity coaching practice. I knew very clearly I was entering a coaching practice, which meant you were only ever going to make so much money because you only had so many hours in the day and you trade dollars for hours. So the scalability piece was always a part of my vision. What it was, what it looked like, how it would come to be, I didn't know. You know, my father is an author, so of course, having a book published was in the vision. What the book would be written on, no idea.
That was to be determined.
To be determined. Didn't know what it was.
Just knew you were writing a book.
I wrote a book in graduate school and never did anything with it, right? Like, so it was like, so there were pieces that I knew I wanted to accomplish, but it was kind of just waiting for God's perfect timing and his plan to bring them all together to be like, okay, this is what it's going to look like. Your scalability will be an online program where you help people all over the world. And I still offer VIP, so I still get to like have communication with some of the folks who go through my program, but it was like, okay, you will write this book. And oh, guess what? Now there's a second book.
Second book.
Right, which I'm working on right now. And the truth is I wouldn't commit to the second book because I couldn't figure out what the third one would be. There's something about that lineage.
Once you get going, you got to keep going.
I needed to know what book 3 would be about because I figured once I wrote a second one, that would be the expectation.
So what's 2 about?
So 2 is actually, I'm doing my own version of a Star Wars side of things. I'm going backwards.
Oh.
So the first book is about how to get referrals without asking, but it's really based on the fact that you actually have people who've referred you. and taking those sources, those referral sources, and being able to get more referrals from them. And of course, turn people into referral sources that aren't referring you. Mm-hmm. The second book is actually like, well, let's just make sure you're actually referable. So in my world, I call that sticky client experiences. Let's make sure you have a sticky client experience. And do it on a shoestring budget, because my market is small business owners and solopreneurs. I'm not trying to compete with the big companies, but what can we learn from their client experience journeys that they have and apply them in a way that works for small businesses? So I have a program on that too. I always tell folks, if you don't know you're referable, you start with a client experience. If you know you have a good client experience, you're getting referrals, then we can jump to, you know, the referral part. And so it's really kind of going backwards.
Okay. Well, that makes sense though, right? I mean, I always tell our advisors that say I want to get referrals, my first question I ask them is, are you referable?
Right.
And, you know, everybody wants to get introduced to new business, yet are you providing, as you said, a client experience that people are going to want to share with others?
Yep.
And
are you talkable?
Our best advisors get referrals without even asking.
Yes.
And, because they've created such a great experience. So it's fantastic that you are actually taking that approach. Kudos.
Yeah. And, well, you know, a lot of it I actually kind of honed while I was here working with you guys. I really kind of figured out what was being, how we were teaching advisors to grow their practices, and then looking at kind of like who were the big dogs, so to speak, in the space of referrals, and realized a lot of what folks are teaching, and it's not just advisors, I see it with my CPA and my attorney clients, my interior designers, it doesn't matter, kind of what they're taught. You Google, how do I get referrals, and 99.9% of results are going to be, oh, just go ask.
Yes.
And my favorite part of that is, and if you won't ask, well, there's something wrong with you. Like, get over your own head trash.
Shame you.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, but if like 99% of us don't want to ask, why isn't there another option?
Yep.
And so when I started my second business, business failure, when I started my next business, it was, okay, I'm going to figure out how to get referrals. And then it was, oh, you got to go ask for them. Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to cold call Tim. So I'm sure heck not going to cold call. You all know I'm not going to ask for referrals, right? So I'm like, not really quite sure that I'm going to do the asking piece. So I reverse engineered the human dynamic and psychology of how referrals work and just started guinea pigging on my business. But at the same time, I was a coach that did really good work. So I had this great client experience, not just the work, but the relationship I built to where it was like this natural kind of connection as things came to be. And in my first year as a business coach, 112 referrals without even asking.
Without even asking.
And done 100 referrals plus every year since. And now, of course, talk to other people about doing it. But you're right. When that advisor comes up to me and says, I want referrals, I'm like, well, I don't know. Are you sure? I mean, I think you deserve them, but are you worthy of them?
Yes. Well, that's a good point. That's a great question. Do you want to talk a little bit about our time together and how that became a springboard for your next chapter of the coaching? Because we did get a chance to work together. We both took a risk at the time to go down a path that we weren't sure how it would work. And I think it's... I love where you are today and watching the evolution of Stacy Brown Randall, the entrepreneur. and I'm very thankful that we got to be a part of that journey as a stepping stone along the way, probably the best way to put it, to helping you get ready to get into the coaching business and get referrals without asking.
Yeah.
So. What you mentioned a couple things. I mean, what were some of the takeaways from your experience we had together that helped you kind of prep for the next phase?
So I don't know if this is something you say to like everybody you ever talk to, but it was a conversation you and I had early on. I don't know if it was during the recruiting process of me coming to work for you or if it was later on when I was listening to you have a conversation with an advisor maybe that you're recruiting over. But I remember you saying something like, you know, that's really interesting about this business and the part of the story I get to be. And some people are meant to be here forever and some aren't. And I'm just part of their journey and I'm part of their story. And that's a really encouraging thing for me to know why I'm doing what I'm doing for yourself as the CEO. And I remember thinking like, okay, you know what? Like, that's true. Like, think about all the opportunities that other people have been a part of my story or my journey. And never knowing if it was going to work out, right, with me being here long-term or short-term, ended up being short-term, but knowing that it was part of my journey. And it was supposed to be, it was supposed to be here, it was supposed to be with you, and it was supposed to be whatever the things I was going to learn and come out of it I was supposed to get. And it was really, when I think about it, it was being here and in the financial advising space and watching how the financial advisors are trained and taught, and then being exposed to how other companies do it, and then being exposed to what resources are available. I remember, like, this is in your old office space, but there was a little bookshelf in the kitchen in the old office space. And there was a book there that I remember I came across it one day, and it was like Tim Templeton's Get More Referrals by Asking, right? And I just remember pulling that up and be like, why do you have to ask? Like, I didn't know anything about it. Like, my first business, that HR consulting firm that failed, I didn't get any referrals. Actually, in fact, the only referral I ever got in that business came 2 years after I shut it down. I was here when that referral came.
Somebody gave you a referral for your former business.
For a former business. I mean, I did the work because I could do it on my own time, yep. Right? But like the truth was, it was my business was done. And so I remember seeing that, and I remember starting thinking of all the ways we teach the advisors to bring in new clients. It seems to me that most of the stuff that we tell them when it comes to referrals is either have a great client experience and they'll just come to you, which is great, but then that means it's something we can't count on. It's yep. not we can't build sustainability that way. Or we teach them some of the other methodologies that are taught, which are and that's not to say this doesn't work for some people. Of course it works for some people. There's reasons why there's other big dogs in the industry that teach asking and networking and things like that as a way to get referrals. But they didn't work for like everybody. So it's like what do we do about the others? And so it really was. I really started thinking about that while I was here. No idea I would discover my own way of doing it, and then that would have me teach people all over the world exactly what it looked like. But it did. I mean, it started here from that perspective of there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a different way. I don't know what it looks like.
Always a better way.
Right. But and again, I always tell folks, like, it's great that I proved there was a better way. It didn't matter until I had other people prove it for me that, yes, this way actually works.
Yeah. That's good. I appreciate you sharing that. I think it's, I do remember making the comment you referenced because I've made it often, and it took me a while. It was one of my mentors, actually, that shared that with me, and he said, you know, some people come into your life for a brief season. Some people come into your life for a long time, and, you know, the experience they have with you is all you can ultimately control, not, you know, the time that they're a part of your journey. And I think it's, I know for me in our relationship, even though we don't see each other all the time, every time I see you, it's like I just saw you last week. You know, that part of the journey for both of us, you know, you helped us on our path in the time you were here. And I'm just so thrilled to see what has become of your journey as an entrepreneur, knowing how much that was important to you even before you came to work with us. So, you know, what's, as you think about, you know, you've had a vision, you've chased, you've been building this business, you continue to learn, you're obviously growing and succeeding. You know, what does the next chapter, no pun intended relative to books, but what does the next chapter look like, Stacey, or where do you see things evolving?
So there's two areas of growth is kind of where I'm headed. And it'll be interesting to see what happens and what this ultimately ends up looking like. Because again, it may be my plan, but it's all in his time,
yes.
Right? So the two things for me is
man plans, God laughs.
And actually, when it comes to me, he like hysterically laughs most of the time. He's like, thanks for the belly laugh. I appreciate that. Right. But I think there's two areas of growth for me. I think that I'm not anywhere near close to helping as many people as I'm supposed to help with being able to generate their clients without asking for those referrals. I know that there is a bigger growth trajectory in store for me, that of all the people I get to help, and it's awesome. And they are from some similar industries, but from some different industries all over the world. There is a huge growth trajectory there still yet to be uncovered. And so that is a big push for my business on the referral side and the client experience side. But when I used to be a business coach, I used to teach people a very specific reverse goal setting process. And I used it. So I started using it back in 2013, 2014, and then I would teach it to my clients. I used to do weekend retreats on it, which were great. And I then just kind of let it lie because now I'm doing this referral thing and everything shifted in my business. But I resurrected it 2 years ago and I started teaching the reverse goal setting process. And then at the beginning of 19, I beta launched a Goal Finishers Club, which is a monthly membership to help business owners have the accountability and the community they need to actually crush the goals they set for themselves. But we don't set 1-year goals in a vacuum. We look at it in a reverse setting. So I ended up launching the Goal Finishers Club. Amazing success. We had one person who went through the club and did something he'd been putting off for 10 years, and it made him an extra $100,000 in 2019.
Wow.
Because the club was holding him accountable, right? And so the Goal Finishers Club was like this little side project. I just really missed that part of my business. I love the referral piece, but I'd missed holding business owners accountable and helping them crush their goals. I mean, it's how in 2017, I went on a 5-week sabbatical with my business because a goal I set back in 2014 and was working towards it and had accountability. And so it's like this side project, but yet not a side project. But where I ultimately see that piece of my business going, and Norm, my husband and I were talking about this, I looked at him and I said, you know, this is the piece of my business that you could ultimately run one day if you wanted to. If you could work for me, because you work for me, not with me. And you'd have to be okay with that.
A clear distinction, I can tell. Yes.
He's always like, it's so good. I am such a humble man.
He is a very good man.
Patient and understanding. And I'm like, yeah, God knew exactly what he was doing when he put us together.
Paired you well.
Yes. But I really do see, like, if Norm ever joined me in the business, and I don't know if he would ever want to. I mean, he's been a business owner in the past. But, you know, if he ever wanted to, that would be the piece that doesn't need me. And the same way the referrals and the client experience does, because so much of the referral piece is language based, and that is my superpower, and it's helping people plant referral seeds. That is ultimately what makes everything work. On the Goal Finishers Club, it's brain science and motivation around accomplishing goals, and then just how I teach it. I can train anyone to learn to do that, and it has the potential for it being maybe something that he grows and develops. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of business owners that need that kind of help. So I don't know where we'll see ourselves in 10 years. Who knows? Maybe I won't be doing any of this. I don't know. But I do know that that's kind of where we're headed, really growing these two parts.
Okay. So the goal setting and the accountability group and continuing your superpower
of
referral language. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you are a very accomplished woman, great wife, mother to three children.
Well, I don't know. Have you asked my children?
Well, I have not asked them lately, but I am sure with two pre-teenagers, I know the answer that I might get.
Yes.
But Mackenzie loves you.
She does.
For sure. And, you know, a woman of great faith, very involved in the community. Yeah, you know, we have a mantra here about helping people win at life, and I think you are clearly a great example of someone winning at life, not just succeeding in business to the detriment of the rest of your life. I mean, what does success look like for Stacy, and how are you kind of keeping it all going? I don't know that balance is even a fair word to use, but you certainly are attending to all aspects of your life. I mean, what do you do there that might be worth sharing with others? Because you have accomplished quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that it's intentionality. Mm-hmm. I think every day I wake up, I want to be really good at my business, and I want to be a really good wife, and I want to be a really good mom. And that doesn't mean every day I'm awesome at all three. That doesn't mean that at all. I mean, there are some days I don't get a shower. I mean, it is just how my life unfolds. So I don't want anyone to get the idea that this is like picture perfect behind the scenes, because it's a mess sometimes, a hot mess. But it's an intentionality. I mean, it's the idea that Norm and I want our marriage to work, so we work on it, and we make sure that we communicate, and we do things together, like take the Enneagram and figure out, that's why you drive me bonkers. So now we can talk about it.
Opposite ends of the scale.
Right. Totally. I'm a 3 achiever, and he's a 9 peacemaker.
Yep.
So, I mean, be more opposite. I mean, when he finally took the DISC assessment, I was like, oh, now I can truly unpack you, right? Because I learned the DISC when I worked for you. But I think it is truly an intentionality that I have and that I bring to my life. I know I get this one life. I know this is it. And I don't know how long it lasts. And I don't know all the impact that I'll ultimately get to make. But I just want to be intentional about the choices that I have made. I wanted to be a mom. I expected to be a mom to 2. And then we took custody of our nephew almost 5 years ago. Now I'm a mom to 3. And I'm learning how to parent a child that has been raised with a lot of trauma and abandonment issues and anger issues because of that. So that is softening me a lot. But I think it's just this level of intentionality. I want to be a great mom for them. I want to be a great wife for Norm. And I want to have a kickbutt business. Like, I want all those things. I also recognize I can't have all of those things all at the same time to be amazing and headed in the trajectory that I want. The business has grown slower, to be honest. The business has grown slower than I wanted, but things had to slow down when we took custody of Danny. I mean, I was supposed to launch my Growth by Referrals online program the week we got custody of him, and that launch had to be pushed off by 6 months. So there's been a lot of things that we make shifts and decisions based on where we are, but it's intentional. And Norm and I communicate great. And when we're not yelling at the children, we communicate great with them too. And we just wake up every day saying, okay, this is, like, we wanted this for our lives, so let's not waste it.
Let's embrace it.
Yeah, and when it's a mess, it's a mess. And like last night, you know, I just boycotted cooking dinner. I told the kids, figure it out, have some breakfast, you'll be fine. Dad's out of town, we'll all survive. I'll make tacos tomorrow. Like, so I recognize my own boundaries and I recognize my own capacity. And when I'm spent, I'm spent, and I know how to communicate that to the kids. And again, though, it's like, I didn't stumble into any of this. These were all intentional choices. And so that gives me a level of understanding that these are responsibilities that I have and I want them.
Well, and success is obviously, we know, Stacy, not linear. And you are describing the true path to success, which has many switchbacks on it, some roads that seem to be going backwards at times, uphill, downhill, facing some obstacles. And I appreciate your authenticity. One of the things I've always appreciated about you, again, you are very authentic in that regard. And the reality is you are succeeding in many areas of your life, all areas of your life, in a way that is authentic and real and not linear.
Thank you.
But you continue to press on and be a good example for others. I know you have a podcast, and I'm curious as to when the next book's coming out, and you know, how can people find you, reach you? What can share a little bit about your podcast and how people can find you and your program? I think it'd be something that many of the people that will listen to this podcast are going to want to be interested in checking out.
Yeah, so the home base is just my website, stacybrownrandall.com, and Stacy's spelled with an E because that gets everybody. Don't worry, I have all the spellings of it anyway. But stacybrownrandall.com is my home base where you can learn more about my book, Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. It's available wherever books are sold, audio version, ebook version, and of course, the printed copy as well. The podcast is Roadmap to Grow Your Business. It's available on all the podcast players where you listen to your podcast. So it's available as well. I have a free Facebook group, Referrals Without Asking, and that's where a lot of people kind of get started with me on their journey if they're on Facebook. If not, find me on LinkedIn. There are lots of ways to kind of immerse yourself, I would say, in this world of mine that I have created. But the website's usually a great starting point.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to the next book. I look forward to continuing to watch your journey of success unfold and, you know, watch the impact you're having not only on some of our own advisors here in our firm, but people all across not only the Carolinas, now the whole world. So really appreciate you joining me today, Stacy. I mean, as I had the vision of putting a podcast together, yours was one of the inspirations for that. And watching you not only do that work, but listening to you really inspired me to say, you know what, there's a medium here, there's a message to be shared. And it's been a joy to be a part of each other's journey. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I've enjoyed spending time with you on this episode today. And be sure to continue along this winning journey with me. Thank you for listening to the Winning Through Culture podcast. And remember, stay impactful and relevant. To connect with us, you can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Winning Through Culture. And find us online at winningthroughculture.com. Or just go to the show notes where you'll find all the links. We look forward to connecting with you and hearing from you. Thanks for listening.